All right. Well, good morning. Morena. It's about all I got. Oh, no. Goeiemôre. It's been a good one, eh? Hey, good to see everybody. Good to have the opportunity to bring God's word to you this morning. Sort of was thinking about what to talk to you guys about, and I actually thought a little bit of a different structure than what you might be used to. I actually want to take the opportunity to give you a bit of a summary and an overview of what we've been talking about in our young men's class for the last several years. So I'm going to try and condense that into about 15 to 20 minutes if I can, so you'll bear with me. I usually have, sort of for work, I'm sort of death by PowerPoint in my job, so I said to myself, I'm not going to do a PowerPoint, but then I ended up doing a PowerPoint and just thinking. So we'll see how we go. You kind of feel lost without it. So take the opportunity to give you an update on that. And also, maybe just before I start, wanted to thank everyone for their prayers for sort of some of the health journeys I've been through. I know a lot of you have been praying and come up to me over the last sort of 6 months to a year and really just let me know that you were. So, you know, it's awesome what prayer can do. Sort of outweighs what doctors can do, which is awesome, because our God is real powerful. So really appreciate that. And also I want to acknowledge all the young men, and ironically we're going to be talking a little bit about that this morning, but you know, since Pastor's been away, I've seen this real sort of, well, no, before that, you know, Pastor's been working hard to be the right leader to actually bring up these young men, think about the different ministries he's been running, and how they've been able to pretty much take over. I mean, I know we've all had a part, but you know, these young men who have stepped up, willing to take the mantle, preach, teach, and really put their skills to practice that they've been learning, is a real testament. So, you know, us older folk, and you know, I'm in that group now. Well, we need to support our young people, so make sure you encourage them. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So, appreciate you, young guys. Thank you very much. I'm sure Pastor does as well. Right, so if I rewind, man, how long have we been back? 6 or 7 years now. And if I rewind back 5 years, thinking about when I first sort of started the opportunity to talk to the young men, I sort of in a bit of a place, well, you know, what's relevant? You can do all the normal, talk about all the normal stuff that you normally talk about with young men. But certainly in my experience and even through my career and different things, I found, and even looking in the world and the way the world is moving, we really do have a lack of understanding of what true leadership means. And if it doesn't start with our young men, it doesn't get very far after that. So I sort of took the idea, well, how do we sort of build this overarching subject of leadership, but be able to bring what Scripture says to light in terms of what does God expect of a young man in terms of leadership, and then how does that translate into an older man? you know, if God is to bless some of these young men with families one day or in a position of leadership, what does that look like? So, as I said, I've tried to sort of summarise a bunch of key things, and so this morning I want to take you through our key text or our key scripture verse that we've started with, and then we've sort of branched off from there and looked at other things, but always rolled back to this key verse. So we'll go through that in a minute. Then I'm going to sort of explain to you our discussions that we talked about in terms of leadership. We opened it up to the class. We looked at what a leader is in terms of what the Bible says, and then we sort of picked everyone's mind about what they think a leader is in terms of what the world says. And then we looked at some of the principles of leadership, some examples, some good examples and some bad examples, and then really compared to what we see in the world today. And that was really to just build the framework and the mindset around how our young people need to think about this, particularly our young men. And then we went off into different areas of that. So we looked at the church, and you'll see why as we read through our passage in a minute. We looked at what's God's picture of a young man, according to Titus chapter 2. What does that actually mean? And what does that mean for you on a day-to-day basis? Because it's all very well to read the verses, But how do we pull that out and apply it to our lives as young men? And then the real chunky part is making sure that as a leader we are confident, we're prepared, and we know what Scripture says. What is sound doctrine? Because sound can be quite different to unsound when it comes to doctrine. And if there's anything I see today, and I'm sure a lot of you guys will agree, that there's lots of different types of doctrine floating around. We just need to be really clear on what those things are, and we try to break it down into some real basic points. So with that being said, I'll ask you to turn to Titus chapter 2. So this has been our key chapter throughout the years that we've been talking, and we've always come back to this. So what we're going to do now, I know Pastor has his readers, Titus chapter 2, we're going to read the whole chapter. I know Pastor has his readers, but I think in case I get it wrong, I'll read it and then we'll go from there. So sorry to you guys who were expecting to read. So Titus chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity and patience, the aged woman likewise, that they be in behaviour as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for everyone being able to be in your house this morning. Again, Lord, just want to thank you so much for all those that have stepped up to keep things moving along as Pastor's been away. We do pray for Pastor that you'd be with him and his wife as they travel around, and also that they might have a great time with family and together. We pray for the service to come, that you prepare our hearts through this process, and that we're here to glorify you and serve others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how long do I have? 20 minutes. Let's just do this because I don't want to waffle on too much. Okay. All right. So that's a great passage of scripture, right? There's so much in that. We could spend, we spent 5 years unpacking it. It takes a while. In danger of going into too much macro detail, basically, we try to just really compound this into some sort of four different areas that we saw. And obviously, from verses 6 to 12 is where our real focus has been around the young men. What is God's sort of expectation of young men in the church? And then, there's also a part to play for other groups of people in the church, aged men, aged women, or the other men and the women, the elders in the church. And then verses 13 to 15 actually rounds it off. Why? What is the why? Why am I supposed to be doing this stuff? And what do we look ahead to? So that's sort of been the structure, and I guess sort of from Sunday to Sunday we've been going through this, and then we've been treeing off into different subjects and circling background. But if you look in there, in terms of this passage, verse 6 says, "Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded." So we actually took that and we looked at, you know, what makes a great leader. Some of the key principles we looked at is that everyone, you know, God makes everybody different. And we actually opened this up to the class, and it took quite a while for us to sort of summarise what we thought a good leader made and then kind of connect that back to Scripture. But we actually discovered that just because you're not a Sunday school teacher, just because you're not a pastor, and just because you're not some boss of some organisation, doesn't mean you're not a leader. And we actually broke that down and we saw that a leader is somebody who has an influence on somebody else. Because actually they're watching what you do 90% of the time. Watching what you do. And I know that. I've got 7 children. They all, you know, it's quite scary actually, seeing them grow up and then take on traits that you see in yourself and you realise, oh, far out, do I actually do that? it just happens by default. But it also happens with the people around you that you influence. And this is not just, by the way, isolated to young men. It's isolated to old men, middle-aged men, all women. So there's a message here for everybody in this room. And so when we looked at that, we actually had a different mindset about how we approach these, because then we were responsible. So everybody sitting in that class, no matter how old or how young they were, had a responsibility. What was that? And, you know, there were some young people in that class going, I don't think I influence anyone. But then we started diving into it. Do you have a brother or a sister? Do you have friends? Do you have someone that you go to school with that does what you do or you do what they do? You know, so we have an opportunity, no matter what part of life we're in, no matter how old, how young, to be an influence on someone, which means by default, you have to carry the right leadership qualities. Because if they're watching what you do and they end up doing those things, then you better make sure that you're doing the right things. So that was a real eye-opener, and it actually set the basis and the structure for all of the rest of the stuff we talked about, because without that, the rest of the stuff was kind of nice to know, but it didn't really apply to me. So it made it really real with our young people, which was really cool to see. We also broke that down into sort of some of the principles in leadership, and you see this in times of real trouble. When someone's under pressure is really where you see those leadership qualities either flourish or they fail, right? Or there's a development opportunity to make that better. And we looked at all sorts of, we looked at sports, yeah, down by 2 points, and how do you keep everybody level-headed and cool and follow the process and trust the process? We trained for this. We know what we're doing. Well, if it was up to each individual, which it is, that can be fine. But if there's not anyone leading that pack and actually bringing everyone together to keep, you know, one goal and one mind in place, it's not going to work. And it works in every organisation. If I think of sort of the organisation I'm in and different businesses and even the church, if you don't have a leader with clear direction and the ability to keep everybody, give everyone a cool head and keep everyone focused, then those things fall apart. And so we looked at how we might apply that in real life, even with your families. You know, there are times in your family, as a husband and as a father and in different areas of life, that, you know, the buck stops with you sometimes. And it might be that you have to make a decision that's not very popular with your wife, but you know that it's the right decision. So when everything's against you, what are those leadership qualities that come to the surface that actually push you to make that decision? So it was some real thought provokers, which was really cool. And, you know, the purpose of the class wasn't to give everyone the answer. It was to really just unpack, pull back the onion layers and really try and test the way that we think. And I think in young men that's really, really important. One of them, young anybody, is to really challenge the way that we think, challenge how we're going to do what we're going to do, and make sure that we stick to these. So that's been a real treat. As we get through the sort of verses 6 to 12, we started breaking things down. We see there in verse 7 it says, "And in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that heathers of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Now we start getting into the macro pieces of sort of, you know, what are these things that would actually I need to work on to make myself a good leader? What does it mean to show a pattern of good works? And we actually break that down, and we actually looked at, well, you know, people who are just swayed, or, you know, 1 minute they're doing one thing and 1 minute they're doing another thing. You know, there actually needs to be a pattern of and a cycle of things. And we looked at that. But we really did focus on doctrine quite a bit. Not so much teaching the doctrine, but looking at why doctrine is so important and why sound doctrine is really important, which we'll get into in a minute. One of the other areas we looked at is the church. As a young man, what is my role in the church? But more importantly, why do I decide to come to church? Well, because I've always come to church and that's what I was told to do, so I should be here. Oh, because I don't want to let anybody down. Oh, because. You know, there are church splits and people that leave churches because they come to church for the wrong reason fundamentally. What can I get out of church is generally the reason why. And because it becomes about you and you're not getting what you think you need, then you go looking elsewhere. But actually we discovered that the reason we come to church is to serve others. If we actually build a mindset in our young people and our young men to think about, like today, how am I going to be a help to someone? How am I going to serve somebody else? And the thing is if we all had that mindset, then by default, the church is flourishing because we've got the right mindset and everyone is looking to serve each other, which is what the Lord wants. So really building that sort of big quality of a leader is a servant's heart. How do we think about coming to church, not just going through the motions? Oh, you know, it's nearly 12, we've got to get ready for lunch, and, you know, do all these things. How can I help somebody today? Of course, that doesn't expel the fact that we need to be fed and learn from God's word. But if we come with that open heart and willing to serve someone else, God will feed you by default. You don't have to go looking for it. So that was really, really cool. And then we actually looked at sound speech. Spent a lot of time on that. You know, words are powerful, right? Or sometimes not speaking is actually a better way of getting through something than speaking something without thinking. So when we look at verse 8, we talked about sound speech. And we looked at all the conditions against that. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. To the point where there's no one that can say anything evil of you. One of the hardest things to do as a leader is to keep a cool head. Think about what you're going to say before you say it. Think 3 or 4 steps ahead. And then decide, is it better to say something or am I better to just shut my mouth? Because this is what the outcome's going to be if I don't, or if I do say something. So we really did unpack that. One of the hardest things to control, and you see this pattern throughout Scripture, is the tongue. You see it through the book of Proverbs a lot, which I'll get to in a minute. We've been going through that as well. Really, really good one. It was a real stimulating conversation over a long period of time. Young men as good leaders. The England captain this morning had a lot to say. Yeah, to the point where he got in trouble way too much. Sometimes it's just better to be quiet and get on with the job. So we had a look at that, which was really good. And this all sort of comes under the next part I'm talking about. What's God's picture of a young man? Patterns and mindset, sound speech. And then this idea of living soberly. Soberly, we looked at what sober means. Of course, we had a couple of different ideas on what that was. But ultimately, just being serious young men, it doesn't mean that you have to walk around and just be this, you know, really boring, serious person. You're allowed to have fun as young people. It's okay. You're all right. But when it comes to the things of God and when it comes to the things of, you know, Scripture and sound doctrine and all of these things contextually that we've been talking about, approach it with a serious mind. And we sort of unpacked a couple of examples of what it means not to be soberly minded and what it does mean to be soberly minded. And we did use the example of what it means to, you know, being sort of inebriated with something you shouldn't be inebriated with and being sober and sort of what that does to you. And then we actually applied that to other parts of life. So, you know, I think certainly from our young men, if we can have young men who are aspiring to be leaders and they really take the things of God seriously and be sober about those things, you know, we'd certainly be a lot better off as a country as a whole. And then there was this last bit around sound doctrine, and we spent a lot of time on this, to be honest. This is probably where we've had the most time in terms of sort of treeing off into different aspects of what that is. We looked at cults, we looked at Bible versions, we looked at all sorts of different things, the importance of study, the importance of exploratory study, and expository learning, that type of thing. What does it mean to have my opinion versus what sound doctrine means? Because your opinion doesn't mean anything if it doesn't line up with what the Bible says, which is why then we looked at Bible versions, because authority, if you don't have any authority from which to base it from, you don't have anything, which also treated into cults, because then we figured out that actually half the time I'm approached by a cult, a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or whoever it might be, the conversation always comes back to, well, my Bible doesn't say that. Well, your Bible does, but my Bible doesn't, so where are we now? We're at a Mexican standoff. What do we do? So we looked at that as well. So encompassing all of that, and we're still working through that, is, you know, as leaders, we've got to be really clear on what we believe. You know, it's just really sent that message out really strong to the young men. If you're going to be leading anyone, the worst thing you can have as a leader is not be clear on your direction. And even in the world, even if it's right or wrong, just have a direction. Don't go that way and say, oh, I wasn't quite sure about that, so I'm going to go over here. You know, people following you end up being all over the place. They're just scattered and you can't group them back up again. So being really clear on what you believe. And of course, we do have authority. We do have the Word of God. So we went through a lot of that structure together. And then we sort of looked at, we did spend a lot of time in the cults. And what was really cool about that time is we actually found some real key patterns with all the cults, which allowed us to identify what one is. And then we actually found that a lot of the cults have a lot of similarities to, and I might get in trouble for saying this, but I don't care, that there are, even within our own movement, I don't know what to call it, not Baptist, but, you know, uncultish stuff. That's a real technical term. We've got the charismatic movement, and Pastor's just been going through that with you, all right? All the different movements, charismatic movement, but even in the Baptist church, there's lots of different takes on doctrine, little tweaks here, little differences there. Actually, you know, what do you believe in? You know, we've got churches who we might call sister churches, who might have a slightly different take on a particular piece of doctrine. Well, where do you stand? Because it might make the difference between how you make decisions in the future. So we just pulled all that apart. There was nothing left on the table, and we had some frank conversations about it. And, you know, a lot of this type of style of how we're learning was really ultimately to teach the guys how to study, how to peel things back. And it's okay. It's great to be fed doctrine. But when I go home and I test that as a leader and I want to be clear on my direction and I want to be clear on what sound doctrine is, how do I unravel that? How do I create a bit of a framework for myself that's repeatable to take that piece of information that I've just received and really unpack it and test it against God's word, not against someone's opinion, not against how I'm feeling that day, not against, oh, I didn't really feel the message today from pastor. Well, your feelings have nothing to do with it, sorry. How does it compare to what Scripture says? So these are the sort of principles we're sort of running through with the young men, and it's been a real pleasure. We've had some young men come and go. We've had some married off. It's a good thing. We've had some that have newly come in as well, so it's been quite great. And the great thing is even when someone new comes in, we don't have to rewind 5 years and start again, you know, because we have the base scripture of Titus chapter 2 that we read through every time. and get that whole structure back in again. So it's been really awesome. And I guess, with all that being said, I know I don't have too much time left. What is the reason? If we look at verse 13 to 15 to finish off, says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now, it's really important is, for me, talking to the young men about leadership, that we always come back to the reason why we're doing what we're doing, or even talking about what we're talking about. You know, and quite simply is that God owns us. You know, if we're saved and we've accepted Christ as Saviour, he actually owns us. And he's coming back one day. What is he coming back to find? And as young men, our responsibility is that God has come back to find that we're prepared, that we have been preparing, and that we've actually developed into these leaders that are able to influence others in the right way. So we always circle back around to this. One thing I will mention, sorry, Bill, got this around the wrong way, but we've been sort of, one of the key principles we've been talking about in terms of learning, and we've talked about the mind and how that works and rewiring of the mind, is repetitive structures. So what we've been doing, guys, has been sort of the last 6 months, maybe the year. I can't remember how long we've been doing Proverbs now. I've challenged the guys to read a proverb a day, every single day. And I said to them, might get boring. You're going to read it over and over and over again. But by the end of the year, you would have read that book of Proverbs at least 10 to 12 times. And book of Proverbs is full of wisdom and understanding and all of these things. And on Sundays now, we actually go through the proverb of the day. So today would have been Proverbs 22. And sometimes we come back full circle to a proverb we've read before, and new stuff comes out of it every single time. So this is more, whilst it's about the proverb and about learning about it, it's actually more about teaching the guys that repetitive, structures, and getting scripture on your heart and in your mind, really nailing that every single time and just getting it in there, is really so, so important for learning and developing and growing. And as a leader, we need to be able to jump back to these things when we need to, and have the Lord bring them to our minds. So that's been a real, real privilege to spend time with the guys on as well. So look, just in closing, I've got a couple of asks for you, the rest of you in here. Couple of going away points that I'd like your help on. So I mentioned at the beginning that we actually all have a part to play. We're all responsible for helping develop our young people. What happens when a church doesn't have any young people to develop? Becomes real old real fast, and there's no one up to take the mantle. And thank the Lord we don't have that in this church. But don't take that for granted. So, men, you men in the church, make sure that on a Sunday, when you see some of these young men, you know, they're standing at the door, they're doing the work, they're up here doing the mahi, that you just give them some encouragement. You know, there's a part in here. Verses 1 and 2. But speak to other things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober. So you are also challenged to do the same thing as the young men. Because again, if you're not doing it, why would they? Grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So your homework, men, is to memorise just verse 2 and use that. We're not going to have a hope in the next generation and the next generation if we don't take this seriously as men. And you are the leaders of today, and you've been there. So my ask for you is to pray diligently, first of all, for our young people, and second of all, maybe just ad hoc one day have a chat to one of the young men. How are you doing? How are things going? How's your Bible studies going? Hey, it was really awesome to see you up there. It was really great to see that you've taken the step up there. anything I can support you with. Yeah? Woman. The aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young woman to be sober. You are also charged to be sober and teach it to the young woman. How do you teach it? You do it. You don't have to have a separate class, you just be that. To love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. The best support, ladies, that you can be to the young ladies, and we have a very good number of young ladies compared to young men in this church, if you hadn't noticed at teen camp, or last night when I was at teen activity. probably 80% young women and 20% young men. So young ladies, ladies, you have a job to do. Verse 3 to 5. My ask to you is that the same thing. Teach by doing. Look at these verses and be sober. And encourage the young ladies. That is not to pull apart every wrong thing that they may be doing. It's actually just to do the right things yourself and let the Lord work in their heart. Another conversation. But that's my ask of you guys. Just be that good example. So with that said, we've all got a part to play. Really thank you for your prayers, and continue to pray for the young people. They are going to be our next people running the church. There are some people in this group that have seen multiple generations. I was one of them. That was my wife. And there was generations before that you've seen come through. And we've seen ups and downs through that time. But now's the time to make sure that we do it right and we be the examples that we need to be. This goes in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that we can just share a little bit about what we've been doing in our young men's class, and also just lay out a reminder and a challenge of how important it is that our young people are guided, encouraged, and taught by example. And we just pray that you would help us to keep that front and centre in our mind, and help us to be motivated to pray for our young people on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.